Our scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in cloths that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told of these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them that told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
What a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. You know, we've just heard the story of those who first went to that empty tomb, and they heard the angel's words of, "He's not here, he has risen." You know, Easter is the greatest event that ever happened in history. And there's no better place for you to be today than with a group of Christians celebrating this day. Because of the resurrection, Jesus is alive, and we have the opportunity to be alive in Christ. So may you be blessed because of your choice to gather together today and to worship the Lord. And particularly, you know, for the First United Methodist Church of Henrietta, we're glad that you chose to worship with us today. You know, life is full of choices. You know, already this morning you've had lots of choices. You know, you chose to gather with us to worship today. You may have even had to deal with some of those tough choices of whether you would eat the dark chocolate Easter egg or the one with cream inside. And in fact, I want to do a quick survey because I read something in the paper yesterday and I was really curious if this was true. So I want to see a show of hands. You know, when you eat your chocolate bunny later today, how many of you will begin by eating the ears? Let me see ear eaters. All right, how many of you will begin with the feet? A few. Okay, how about the tail? Yeah, not too many. Okay, we're pretty much in line with Americans according to this statistic. It says that 89% begin with the ears. So just wanted to point that out. It's just a matter of choice. You know, and that's part of what we're talking about is choices. You know, from the moment you wake up in the morning, you have choices. Now, of course, that first choice may be to push the snooze button. But then you have to choose, you know, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Am I going to exercise? How am I going to use my time? And, you know, we're full of choices. You know, often we kind of get into a routine of how we live our day. And it was a couple of months ago that during my prayer time, all of a sudden a phrase kind of came to me. And that phrase was, "I have a choice." Which you think, of course, you have a choice, but I started thinking about that for just the ordinary things that I do. And so some of those things that were just kind of second nature, I would stop when I was doing them and I'd think, "I have a choice." And it made me stop and think, why do I do this? And why do I do it this way? In fact, sometimes it was even kind of at the oddest moment, some of those little things like, when I was spreading extravagant amounts of butter on a piece of bread. And I would think, I have a choice. You know, long term, is this the best idea? You know, or maybe it was while I was looking at Facebook or watching TV, and I'd think, I have a choice. Is this the best use of my time? I have a choice in how I spend my money and what is the wisest. You know, and it's true for all of us. We need to pay attention to our choices in life. And it is for all of us in all parts of our lives. But probably the most meaningful part has to do with our relationships. Because we have choices. We have a choice in how we treat other people. We have a choice as to whether we go out of our way to make a difference in someone's life. We have a choice as to whether we're going to be in relationship with someone. And we have a choice as to whether we're going to be in relationship with the Lord God Almighty. You know, God wants more than anything for us to be in relationship with Him. But He's not going to force us. Now, that's why He gave us free will in the first place. Because He doesn't want to force us to do things. You know, He could, but instead He gave us lots of choices. And one of our choices is whether we want to be in a relationship with the Creator of the universe. And certainly He could have created us so that we absolutely had to worship Him and do exactly what He wanted. But if so, we would just be like puppets. And that's not what God wanted. He wanted us to choose to worship Him, to choose to trust Him, to choose to obey. He wanted us to choose because He didn't want to force us into submission. So from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, He gave instructions of what was right, but then He gave free will. And if you think about them, they had a choice. You know, they had a choice of doing the way the Father wanted or tasting the forbidden fruit. And we know how that turned out. But the same thing is true for us. We have free will. And pay attention, because the choices we make shape our lives. You are where you are right now because of the choices you have made. And you will be where you'll be in the future because of the choices that you make from this point on. We have choices. You know, Jesus had choices in His life as well. You know, we think about His life and we recognize that He was both fully human and fully divine. You know, for His human side, He felt emotions, He felt fear, faced temptations, He had hurts. You know, He went through all of that. And yet He lived a perfect life. But at the same time, He was fully divine. He is God. And so He knew exactly what was going to be happening in the future. And yet He made those tough choices. In fact, when we think about the Garden of Gethsemane, we think about Jesus being there. And He, in His divinity, knew what was going to happen after that. And yet in His humanness, He had a fear and He cried out and said, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me." You know, He knew what was ahead of Him. He had a choice. And yet He said, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." You know, Jesus gave His life. It was not taken. There is a difference, believe me. There's a book called My Grandfather's War by William D. Matheson. And in it, he talks about a veteran from his hometown who would walk around with an empty sleeve. And if a passerby said something about losing his arm, he would say, "I didn't lose it. I gave it." And it's the same thing with Christ on the cross. He didn't lose His life. He gave it. He gave it. He made that choice. Can you imagine? He was willing to make that choice. And what a powerful thing for us to understand is that He chose to do that. You know, I don't know that we always recognize all that He went through, because I think we just read what's in the Bible and we read about Him being mocked and beaten and flogged, and how He had a crown of thorns, and how He had to carry His cross, and how He was nailed to the cross, and how He was crucified. But I think we read that and we've heard the story so much that we're kind of numb to it. And we think of those as just words. But can you even imagine what He went through? The other night, I decided I was going to sit down and watch The Passion of the Christ. And to be honest, I hadn't watched it in 12 years since it came out, because it was such a difficult movie to watch. And I tried to sit there and watch it. And when it got to the point where they were going to start beating Jesus, I just had to turn it off. And I realized I can't even sit through a two-hour movie and handle this. So I can't imagine how Jesus experienced what He did. And when I was in seminary, I remember there was a paper that we had to read. It was a medical paper that described what happens to the body when someone's being crucified. And I am still haunted by some of the things I read in that. It is horrendous. Jesus went through that, and He knew beforehand what it would be like. And He had a choice. He had a choice, and He chose to do that. You know, if we think about it, just even going into Jerusalem, He knew what was ahead of Him, and He had a choice, but He decided to go anyway. And we know that He knew what was going on, because He even told His disciples about it, and He had a choice. And we think about when He's sitting at the Passover table and Judas is right there beside Him. And He had a chance to stop what Judas was going to do and thwart His plans. He had a choice, but He didn't stop it. You know, when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, He didn't have to go there. He knew that's where Judas would lead the soldiers to, and He had a choice as to whether He went there. And yet He still went. And if you really think about it, when He went to that garden, He could have just kept on going. He could have gone over the Mount of Olives and into the wilderness and kept traveling on. He had a choice. And yet He was willing to die for us. You know, and I read over and over in the Passion story the fact that He had a choice. And I think about all the times that He could have stopped it. He could have played that God card. He could have broken those ropes. He could have come off that cross. He could have called down 12 legions of angels. He even told His disciples if He wanted to, He could do that. But He didn't. He had a choice. So why? Why did He not? Why was He willing to go through that? Why did He willingly do that for us? You know, because He did not lose His life on the cross. He gave it. And He had a choice of whether to give it. And why would He willingly give Himself in such a way? You know, He did it so that He could follow the Father's will. He did it because of us. He did it because of you and because of me. He traded His life for our life. You know, He knew that He was sent here in the first place to make a difference in our lives. And the only way He could do that was by doing the Father's will. And so he was willing to do that. He was willing to sacrifice himself for that. And so we recognize that that's what he did. In Galatians 1:4, it even talks about that Jesus lost his life. He gave his life for us to rescue us from all the evil of the age. And that's why he did it. He was willing to do that for us. You know, in recognizing that, we think about why would he do that, and we also know that there is a cost to sin. And we're sinful. Jesus was perfect in his life. Yet he knew that we were sinful, and there's no way for us to pay that cost. And that cost is a penalty, and that penalty is death. And so he took our place to pay that penalty. And that's what made all the difference, because he was willing to do that. He had a choice, and he chose us. He did that because he knew that after the death, after the pain, after the tomb, after the 3 days, that what came next was resurrection. And that resurrection is glorious. And so he chose that for us. And Jesus has told us that I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because I live, you shall live also. You know, because Jesus was willing to make that tough choice and choose us, it makes all the difference. And in fact, in the Gospel of John, John 15, verse 16, it talks about that he says, you know, you did not choose me, I chose you. You see, Jesus chose us first. It's not that we chose him. And because he chose us, then we have a chance to choose and accept him. And that's our choice, to choose him. You know, we can choose to do our own thing, but when we do, we miss out on what God has planned for us. We miss out on his blessings. We miss out on his purpose for our lives. But he's given us free will, and he said, you can do whatever you want to. But if we do, we're missing out. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you. And they're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future. But God kind of steps back and says, you know, I have all this great stuff planned for you, but it's up to you to choose whether you want to accept what I'm offering you. And if you do choose what he's offering, or if you want to, then it's very simple. In fact, Romans 10:9 just lays it out for us and tells us exactly what it means. All we have to do is confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And if we do that, then we are saved. It is that simple. You know, Jesus had a choice. He had a choice, and he chose us. And because he was willing to die for us, we have life if we choose it. And he is alive. Jesus is very much alive, and he's with us. Jesus had a choice, and he chose you. Now you have a choice. Will you choose Jesus? Let us pray. Glorious God, you know for each one of us that are here today, you know exactly where we are in our relationship with you. And I pray if there are any hearts that are searching for you, that right now they would feel your presence and know that you are very much alive and wanting to embrace them and help them to know what it means to live a life in its fullest. Because otherwise, Lord, we're just going through the motions of the day, not even really knowing what we're doing. And we're missing out on the greatest choice of life, of really experiencing life in its fullness because of you. So I pray for each and every one of us that we might draw closer to you than we've ever been before. In your holy name we pray. Amen.